listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes. Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
When we continue, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. The Philadelphia Eagles are going back to the Super Bowl. And now joining us is a man that has been on the Eagles since 2010. He was a Super Bowl hero, had the big strip sack of Tom Brady in Super Bowl 52. And that is Eagles captain number 55, Brandon Graham. Brandon, first off, congratulations on another trip to the big game. Appreciate the time. I would ask you how you're doing, but I think things are going pretty well these days.
Oh, man, things are going pretty well. Spending all the great family time with my family and enjoying this moment, man, because these moments coming and going real fast because we're having a lot of fun.
Well, I hear your daughter in the background, and I saw your daughter on the field after the game, ran right up to you. It was caught on the cameras when Jacina Anderson was interviewing you. That had to be such a special moment because I saw you and your daughter had a very emotional moment. That was awesome.
Oh, man, yes, it was, man. It was a great, great feeling to see my family see us go to the Super Bowl. Yeah, go to the Super Bowl. And, you know, I know baby girl was crying and wifey was crying and we had a great moment together. We had a great moment with our, just in that moment of, like, this victory and something that we've been talking about all year. We finally made it there, but the job is not done.
Well, a lot of people were doubting you heading into this season because even though you've been a great player in this league, you're coming off the Achilles injury. How do you kind of recap that road to recovery and what the journey just has been like this year? Because you're having a career year, your most sacks in a single season with 11 now.
Man, you know what? It was more about my attitude and how I enjoyed every step. You know, and when it was time to go, that's what I did. I went. And, you know, I felt like we got a great staff at the training staff up at the Eagles. And, you know, they got me together. And, you know, I think it was just my attitude, man, just enjoying the struggle of it. And when that day came for me to start going against my guys and sharpening each other, you know, I felt just, if not better than I did when I got hurt. So, you know, I was in a good place mentally.
Is this the most proud, when you look back at your career, that you think you've ever been, just with the road to recovery and the way that this is playing out so far?
Oh, man, yes. And you know what's crazy? I don't even play as much as I used to play and didn't get the same production out of, you know, just from coming off the bench, man. This has been my best year for real. And it's just, man, it's just the guys in the room, you know, Hassan and those guys, you know, getting me better every day because of me seeing them go. I got to make sure I keep up with them because, you know what I'm saying, them boys is out there going, you know, going every day. And it's just cool to be, you know, leading the pack, you know, just with my attitude and just encouragement of the team.
Well, I got to give you credit because you last joined us back in late September after you guys beat the Commanders and had that big sack party on Carson Wentz. And you said that this team this year is more talented and better than the team that won the Super Bowl back in 2017. What did you see right away? Because usually you don't hear a veteran like yourself say those things that early into a season.
Well, you know what? I knew we was good because of the togetherness that we showed in the building. Because I didn't feel like it was fake or forced. I just thought that, you know, we really was trying to buy into the connecting. And, you know, everybody's attitude was good for practice because you know how it is trying to get grown men to go out and practice on days that they don't want to go sometimes. But I feel like, you know, this year we really didn't have too many hiccups on that. I feel like everybody kind of sense that we had some good things going. A.J. Brown and those guys, the draft definitely excited everybody. So I think that gave us a push. And, of course, you know, I just thought it was more of the personalities and how I felt like people wasn't in a rush to get out the building. But that's when I kind of knew we had something good.
And you have mainstays in Philadelphia like yourself, Lane Johnson, Jason Kelce. But I also think it helps when your quarterback, Jalen Hurts, it seems like he's been in the league for 15 years with his leadership style.
Oh, yeah, man. You see how unbothered sometimes he is. But I love it because, you know, he's just calm and cool during the storms. You know, you don't really see him get rattled too much. He's just more about doing his job and making sure he's taking care of business. And so I've seen him all off season because I was there. He was there with me. He seen my rehab every day, just like I seen his grind and hearing people talk about him and not knowing what his future is like. And you know, I just know he never really said much. He just did. And that's what he's doing. He's just doing work, doing exactly what it is that he's been doing, not saying much, but just showing up.
Well, there was once a time in Philadelphia, Brandon Graham, where people wrote you off and people didn't think we'd be talking about you the way that people do now. You've been very resilient. But this entire team, there's so many resilient stories. You look at Hassan Reddick, who I went to Temple with. He was a walk-on. And then you see what he's doing in the NFL now. Howie Roseman, how many times people wanted him fired. And you have Nick Sirianni and also Jalen Hurts. Those are not popular moves when Jalen Hurts was drafted and also when Nick Sirianni was hired as the head football coach.
Man, you're right about that, especially the Jalen pick because of who they, you know, who we thought we had already with Carson. And so, man, you're right. Like, Howie has done a great job with this team, you know, managing everything. You know, hasn't been perfect with it for sure, but I feel like, you know, it's crazy how everybody in their second year, as far as like Doug and now Nick, you go to the Super Bowl in 2 years. When Howie came back after he cleaned up what, you know, Chip Kelly and his guys did. And, man, I mean, it's just been a great, great job. And then for me to see that, going through that, and now being in this point in my career where, you know, I'm able to have two Super Bowl appearances going for my second ring. And, man, it's a lot of guys that don't even get one. So it's like I'm just very grateful and, you know, just excited, man, just for this opportunity.
Brandon Graham, we were talking about how emotional of a year this year was and all the work that put in to make the results possible. What were you thinking about when you were walking off the field in Philly on Sunday?
Man, I was just thinking about every little thing that I've went through and the belief that I had that we was going to actually go to the Super Bowl. But you knew that you had to put the work in for sure, but you knew you had a shot because of the attitude of the team, like I said, and the work ethic. And I'm just happy everything's coming together at the right time for us because we always talked about having a complete game and when we're going to do it all together. Because some games, the offense is leading us and the defense is not doing much. Then the defense is leading us and the offense ain't doing much. So I feel like now we're firing on all cylinders right now, and it's the best time, especially going into the Super Bowl.
So you're going up against Andy Reid, the man that drafted you. I know he last coached the Eagles in 2012, but what is that like? What are the first thoughts going up against your old football coach?
Ooh, man, you know, for coach, you know, just being drafted by him, you know, it's definitely much love to Coach Reid because, you know, I'm so thankful that what he saw in me was fit for the Eagles. And, you know, it's been nothing but love here. You know what I'm saying, after I got myself together, not in the beginning, but you know what I mean. Like, you know, ever since, you know, I got my act together, things have been really nice. And I'm thankful for him for giving me an opportunity and a shot to be here. But, you know, going into this game, I can't wait. I'm excited to, you know, have some fun with Coach, you know, get to see him in person because I haven't seen him in a long time because I didn't get to see him last year because I was hurt for our game. When I tore my Achilles, but I'm definitely excited to see him and get to talk to him at this age because I had him early as a youngin, and he really didn't talk to rookies as much, you know, unless you did some, and I ain't do nothing yet. So, you know, I'm excited to kind of talk to him when I see him.
The Kelce storyline's also awesome as well with Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce going up against one another.
Oh, yeah. man, for them to have a podcast already, and then now, you know, for this to happen like this, man, they I know it's fun in their household because I listen to them all the time. I told Kelsey, like, you and your brother, man, y'all couldn't have did nothing. That was the best thing y'all could have did because, I mean, I really do enjoy their little shorts that they talk about and just how they both balance each other out. And I'm sure Kelsey, you know, want to make sure he beat his brother. I don't know what the battle's been between the two. I'm sure going to ask him, like, who's been winning most of the battles. But, you know, I'm definitely hoping that Kelsey come out, Jason come out on top on this one.
Well, I'm just wondering, going back to the Niners game, Brandon Graham, did you guys as a defense feel disrespected? Because everyone was talking about their defense. I think a lot of people weren't talking about your defense that leads the NFL in sacks.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, we took that on the chin, and we just was like, you know what? How we going to fight that is what we do in practice. And that's what I like about our team. We just responded that way because we heard a couple things, but we just heard a couple things because none of it was true because we know who we were, and we showed up on that day, and I think they gave us a little extra for us to show up with. So, you know, I was excited because our team responded well, and we just was just being us. That was the best part about it.
You being the veteran leader of this bunch, just what's the biggest point of emphasis over the next week and a half or so when you're preparing for someone as great as Patrick Mahomes?
Man, you just got to, you know, for one, you got to make sure you stay sharp on what you do. And so I think this week is more about us making sure that we stand true to who we are and stand on point with some things. And then, you know, we go over the game plan a little bit, get a little taste, and then bam, you know, we go into week, going to Super Bowl week. But right now, it's just about making sure that we take care of some of the stuff that we wasn't so good at this year or what we were good at. Let's continue to make sure we keep sharpening that tool. And, yeah, man, just enjoying these last 2 weeks with each other and trying to make history together.
Is the Super Bowl coming up in 2 weeks going to be your final game, Brandon Graham?
Nah, man. My wife said potentially as an Eagle as far as, you know, we don't know my future because I'm on a one-year deal. But she knows I want to play a couple more years. And then, you know, who knows what happens. I'm hoping – you know what I'm saying? Everything works out, you know, just but I'm definitely playing.
All right. Well, good to hear. Once again, really happy for you. What you had to go through last year on the road to recovery has been awesome. Good luck coming up in 2 weeks, and thanks so much for doing this.
Well, I appreciate you for having me, man. Have a good one.
There you go. Brandon Graham from the Philadelphia Eagles. So how about that? I think the storylines for this Super Bowl are just awesome. Like, I know the Andy Reid hasn't coached in Philadelphia since 2012, but that franchise was in a bad spot. I know he never won a Super Bowl, but they've been to so many NFC title games. They went to that one Super Bowl in Super Bowl 39 where they lost to the Patriots. And you have Jason Kelce going up against Travis Kelce. But really, let's praise these defenses going into this game. Because what Steve Spagnuolo has now once again done with the Chiefs defense, you got to give him a lot of credit. And you know how great Chris Jones can be? And you know what he could do on a defensive line? You saw it last week. And for the Eagles, it seems like every guy on this team has 10 sacks. When you just see the way that their pass rushers get after the quarterback and all the names that they have from Reddick and Sweat and Graham and Fletcher Cox. They added middle of the season the Ndamukong Suh and Linval Joseph. These two defenses, I know the quarterbacks are great. Jalen Hurts has had a wonderful season. You look at Patrick Mahomes, he's the creme de la creme at the quarterback position. But that Eagles defense, I think that's the biggest key to the game. Because you know what Mahomes could do, even on one ankle. And I know, right, he's going to be a little bit extra rested than what it was last week because you got a week off before they go to Glendale, Arizona. And then you have another week to get ready for the game. But that Eagles defensive line did not, and they should have been because they led the league in sacks. That defense from the front line to the back end is just a wonderful, and I mean a wonderful defense, and an edge rusher like Hassan Reddick, who is so athletic, and that contain's going to be so big on Mahomes because even if you keep Mahomes in the pocket, he could kill you. But when he gets outside the pocket, and we'll see how that ankle holds up, You know that's the brilliance of Mahomes in the way that he's going to extend plays. Like, Hickey, I'm so excited to get to Arizona coming up on Sunday because just the storylines in this game from Reed and you had the Kelce brothers and both these defenses, and you got Jalen Hurts going up against Patrick Mahomes. There's a million storylines in this game. And I think it makes for what's going to be a wonderful game. This is what I can't decide. And it's early, so we got time to figure this out. But what I can't decide yet is this going to be a lower scoring game, or is this going to be high octane offense where a defensive play is it wins the game late, kind of like what it was Patriots and Eagles from a few years ago? Like, this would not shock me if this was similar to maybe like the Cincinnati game up against the Chiefs last week, where you think it's going to be a little bit higher scoring and then it ends up being like 23-20 or something like that.
Right now, that's where I'm leaning, like kind of in that range, 23-20, 24-21, just because, like I said, these defenses both are able to make big stops in big moments. The defensive lines were, you know, on both sides causing havoc in each of their respective championship games. And there's still questions, even with the week off, about each quarterback's health. Jalen Hurts did not look right on Sunday. We know, obviously, Patrick Mahomes is dealing with an ankle injury that in the first half, at least, looked fine. The second half, it did come back, and you saw him kind of gimping around, still was able to kind of fight through it. I would say right now, like I said, I did not see the over-unders right now. I would probably, though, if it's high 40s, feel pretty comfortable right now going with the under.
Expand on your point on Jalen Hurts, because I don't think Jalen Hurts needed to be great in that game. He just couldn't have turnovers in that contest. And he still put up 31 points on what is, right, as everyone said, the best defense in football. So just expand the Hurts point.
No, he didn't have to be great at all, and he wasn't, like, frankly. He missed a lot of open throws. He had A.J. Brown open a few times, overthrew him, had Devonta
Smith.
Yeah,
down that right sideline.
Outside of the one deep throw on the first drive of the game that ended up being a drop, he didn't push the ball deep whatsoever, so there's still questions about can he put the ball deep? I don't really know, and if you're going to need to do it against the Chiefs, can he? Well, it didn't look good last week doing it, and really even the Giants game, outside of the first, that was like the first
to
second
Devontae
or third
Smith,
play of the game,
I think,
early on in the first drive. Again, another Devontae Smith deep pass, that was a lot more on target. Otherwise, not deep whatsoever, so there's still questions about Jalen Hurts' ability to push the ball down the field, and again, you see him, you know, gets hit a few times to his credit. He's a very tough kid, so even, you know, running the ball still won't be as much of a problem. But again, he's not using his legs as much as he was, let's say, a month, month and a half ago. Still hurt. That's all you got to say.
He still is banged up, but I don't have a big concern with Hurts going into this game. Now, the over-under, 49.5. That's basically 50 points.
Right now, like you said, I would probably lean towards the under of a 23-20-ish kind of game.
And I had a parlay last week. The under in the first game between the Eagles and the Niners, it hit. Then I had the over in the second game. And going into the fourth quarter, you're thinking this thing is going to hit. And then it doesn't at 23-20. I think, what was it, 46, I want to say? Somewhere like that was the over. But that was looking like a lock with the way that those two teams are going at
you
it.
You figure the fourth quarter would be back and forth.
Yeah.
Touchdown, field goal, touchdown. Yeah, it was not the case.
Late drive by Mahomes to get to the over, but he got the late drive. It just wasn't good enough for
yeah.
the over. Come on. All right, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll break. We'll come on back. We'll do a little overreaction, a proper reaction.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news. And add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Help! Help! Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Little overreaction, proper reaction time. Hot take, Kiki, go ahead.
All right, so the big breaking news in of the day, the Broncos hiring Sean Payton from the New Orleans Saints, trading a first-round pick this year, a second-round pick next year, and getting a third-round pick in 2024 from the Saints, along with the aforementioned Sean Payton. All right, so we have three of the five now head coaching jobs filled. Frank Reich to the Panthers, D'Amico Ryans, which was announced a few minutes after Sean Payton going to the Texans, and obviously Sean Payton to the Broncos. Overreaction or proper
reaction? Can I make a guess here? I think this question's going to go one or two ways.
Okay.
I think one question's going to be overreaction or proper reaction. Sean Payton was the best hire so far. Or I think the other question could potentially be, and this would just be how you try to always make it about the Colts, what's a more attractive job remaining? Is it the Indianapolis Colts or is it the Arizona Cardinals? And I get either of those questions right.
One of the two. It will be the first one. Sean Payton, of the three, is the best hire so far by the Denver Broncos.
So I did not love the Frank Reich hire. I thought they should have just kept Steve Wilkes if they were going to bring in Frank Reich. It doesn't really move the needle for me. The D'Amico Ryans one, there's always a risk and a gamble when you bring in someone who is the hotshot defensive coordinator. And we've seen some guys flourish, some guys, most of the time, guys do struggle and they get put in the head coaching chair. But I look at Sean Payton, the guy's won a Super Bowl in this league. And when he's coached in this league, he's been a top five coach in this league. So it's tough for me to say that that is an overreaction. I do think it's a proper reaction. But with that being said, I'm not concerned about Sean. What I'm concerned about is Russell Wilson. And what is his ceiling? Can he be a great quarterback again? Or will he just go back to being better than last year, which you can't get any worse, you would think, and just being a good quarterback? And that division, it's going to be tough to win. It's going to be tough to consistently go to the playoffs. Because the Chiefs are going nowhere. The Chargers are set up to succeed with Justin Herbert as their quarterback. Like right now, I think you're fighting for the third spot in that division. And you could have what would be perceived to be a good year, go 9-8, and miss out in the playoffs. And it's like, okay, you give up all that draft capital for not only the quarterback, but now also the coach. So I know it sounds like I'm negative on the hire. It's not that I'm negative on Sean. I just really don't know what to expect out of Russ moving forward. But it's a move that if you're the Broncos, you had to make it because of the pedigree and the respect that Sean Payton has in this league. And you got to see what he's going to be able to get out of Russell Wilson. Because not that he's the best coach in the league, but he's one of. If he can't fix Russell Wilson, then Russell Wilson's just never going to be a great quarterback again. But yeah. With the credentials and on paper, even though you gave up a lot, I would say it's the best hire so far of the cycle.
D'Amico Ryans also hired by the Texans in mere minutes from the announcement of Sean Payton to the Broncos.
Overreaction or proper reaction? D'Amico Ryans will be the head coach of the Texans in 2024.
No. Close. This is now
one and done.
Starting week one. Yeah, there's there. 2024, he'll be fired.
I'll give you a hot take. I'll steal your nickname, Hot Take Kiki. I'll go Hot Take Gelb today. D'Amico Ryans is going to be the coach
for more than a year. He'll see a second year with the Texans.
He might be the least fireable coach in the NFL just based on what has happened in the Texans the last 3 years.
Yeah, I'm not even kidding. How many games did they win this year? Three?
Two.
Two? They could win one game next year. He's not going to fire. They could regress. He's not going to fire.
Maybe it was three. I forget. I got to look it up. It was cool. I think the last game, maybe it was three. Kind of losing out on the number.
Oh, because they won
but
that last
way,
game.
Yes. Either way, two or three. It's very...
3-13, and you forgot that tie up against
Oh, no. I knew.
Trust against
me. Who? The Colts. Week one. Can't forget that tie. Trust me. That's the one thing that's burned in my memories. That stupid tie week one. But anyway, D'Amico Ryans, week one of 2023, will be the fourth head coach in four seasons for the Houston Texans.
Oof.
Onsides or offsides? I'd said it before. I knew it was going to happen. Overreaction or proper reaction? D'Amico Ryans will be the head coach of the Texans for the next 5 years.
5 years?
5 years. Let's make it four. Let's keep it on brand with the numbers.
No, you said five. You said five. That's the way I'm going to answer.
Okay, 5 years.
I'm going to answer it. Even though I'm optimistic about this hire, to guarantee 5 years of the GM that we don't know how good of a GM he could be, and we don't know who's going to be their quarterback yet, I would go overreaction on that. But if you ask me that after, like, let's say they draft Bryce Young, then it could be a different conversation if they do get Bryce Young with the second overall pick. Now, since they fell to the number two overall pick, we can't guarantee that they're going to get Bryce Young. But that's for 5 years. Because we've seen guys being well-respected. Oh, he's the hottest coach of the market, defense coordinator, offensive coordinator. Like, look at Robert Saleh. I was like at one time the hottest name in the market. And now going into year number three, he's on the hot seat. Where you look at a guy like Brian Daboll, hot name on the market, after year one, the only guy that thought he was on the hot seat was Colin Cowherd because getting to the playoffs guaranteed him another year. But Brian Daboll after year one, you wouldn't even think about getting rid of that guy for at least three more seasons, depending on how the team does move forward.
One more head coaching question. Overreaction or proper reaction? Since you have two openings left, Cardinals and Colts. The Cardinals are the more attractive job opening right now than the Colts.
See, I knew this question was eventually going to come up. Yeah, I think so. I would say proper reaction because even though you probably won't have Kyler Murray for this year or you'll be missing him for like right half a season, Kyler Murray at least has shown you he could be a good quarterback in this league. Not great, but good. And the Colts, you got a defense. You got an offensive line that's overpaid. Jonathan Taylor, don't get me wrong, is a stud, but you never know how long a running back does last in this league. And I don't know who the Colts quarterback's going to be moving forward. So I think the Cardinals' job right now is more attractive than the Colts' job.
We just had Brandon Graham on the show. He'll be participating in the Super Bowl next week. Eagles-Chiefs right now, early opening betting line. Eagles are a 1.5-point favorite over the Chiefs. Overreaction or proper reaction, the Eagles deserve to be favorites heading into next week's Super Bowl.
Yeah, they do. They're the better team. Just because you're the better team does not mean that you win the game. I know both these teams were 14-3 on the season, but I think the Eagles have a better overall roster when you look at what they have in the defensive side of the ball and you look at the entire pieces on the offensive side of the ball, how great that offensive line is. You got three Pro Bowlers on that offensive line, like legitimate Pro Bowlers, not this nonsense of Tyler Huntley going to the Pro Bowl, which isn't even really the Pro Bowl anymore. It's like a skills competition, a flag football game. I don't even know what it is anymore. And I think outside of Kelce and Mahomes, like I just think the options and the weapons for the Eagles are better when you look at A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith compared to what the Chiefs have outside of clearly Mahomes and Kelce. So I think the Eagles are the better team, and I do think they're deserving of being a 1.5-point favorite.
Both teams,
that's basically like a pick 'em, but you got to give the edge to someone. I think it's right to give the edge to Philly.
All right, let's talk about both teams' quarterbacks, who's both ones are next week with some injury concerns. Jalen Hurts still dealing with a right shoulder injury. Patrick Mahomes dealing with a right ankle injury. Both obviously able to gut through last week in wins and gut through the playoffs while dealing with those injuries as well. Overreaction or proper reaction, you are more concerned about the health of Jalen Hurts' right shoulder than you are with the health of Patrick Mahomes' right ankle.
That is an overreaction. Now, clearly Mahomes could still go play a great game with basically one ankle. We saw that last week up against the Cincinnati Bengals in a place for a week that was called Burrowhead, and now it's back to Arrowhead. But he's one tweak away and getting just stepped on by a cleat or just having the ankle roll the wrong way where maybe he gets knocked out of the game and no one want to see that. I think the Chiefs, you know, they operate at the beat of the drum of Patrick Mahomes. He's their most important player. Yeah, Jalen Hurts was the MVP this year. Jalen Hurts is sensational. But I think the Eagles have shown you, and you could question the competition, but I think the Eagles have shown you the last 2 weeks, you could find many different ways to win. And since the Eagles have a better overall team, not that, right, you lessen the importance of the quarterback, but just with the way that the Chiefs are built, who have a really good roster, but I think the Eagles have a better roster, I think they rely more on Mahomes. So I would be more concerned about the ankle of Mahomes. And also, it's a fresher injury. It's a newer injury than the Hurts that happened over a month ago.
Let's talk about the losers from Conference Championship Weekend, Bengals and 49ers. Obviously, the 49ers, as we know, one of the most well-built teams in the NFL. They have everything right now but a quarterback. On the other side, you have one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL in Joe Burrow. Solid team around him as well, but obviously also in a tougher conference in the AFC. Overreaction or proper reaction? The 49ers will be back to Conference Championship Weekend before the Bengals.
Who's playing quarterback next year for the 49ers? Now, to be fair, they got there last year with Jimmy G. They got there this year with Brock Purdy. Not knowing who the quarterback's going to be with the 49ers. Like, if it's Brady, I pick him to go to the NFC title game in a second. If it's Lance, I don't know what Lance is. If it's Brock Purdy, I don't know what Brock Purdy looks like over the entire season. And I know the AFC is tougher, but that's how much I think and have respect for Joe Burrow. So you ask me, it's more likely that the... Which one came first here?
49ers get back to Conference Championship Weekend than the Bengals.
Yeah, I go overreaction. I think even though they're in a tougher conference, I'll trust the Bengals more.
And let's finish with this. Aaron Rodgers talking to Pat McAfee yet again. Did mention that he should come to a decision about his future after the Super Bowl. So relatively close to now, he'll decide whether he wants to play or retire. He did mention today that the Packers are starting to have conversations already about their future quarterback that do not involve him. So overreaction or proper reaction, Aaron Rodgers will be traded this offseason.
I think that's a proper reaction. I know that he did not go. I know he said it was 50-50, John Kuhn. But from where we were the last 2 years when that number has been as high as 75% that he was going to be back in Green Bay, that's a big drop off. And you keep on just seeing little hints along the trail that suggest that both sides want this divorce. And I don't think at any point the last 2 years the Packers wanted a divorce. Now I think both sides want the divorce. The question just is who's going to say it first. So I do believe that at one point, I think it's a proper reaction this offseason, we're going to get that alert that Rodgers gets traded to the Jets, gets traded to the Raiders, whoever that may be. All righty, that's overreaction, proper reaction. For the last time this football season, because after one game and that's a Super Bowl, we elected not to do this segment coming up for that Tuesday after the Super Bowl. So you will get that once again coming up in the fall of 2023. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will come on back. And I want to get into something that Brandon Bean said the other day to one of the local papers in Buffalo.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So, I don't think you've seen this quote yet, Hickey, but this is from Brandon Bean, the general manager of the Buffalo Bills. And he said this to the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. He said, the only thing I get on him, is he's got too many bruises on him, Bean said when talking about his quarterback in Josh Allen. And we've got to work on taking less hits. That's the only reason I'm going to ever criticize Josh. It's just take less hits. So I think that's a fair criticism. You don't want your franchise quarterback getting hit that often. But with that being said, how about the design of the offense? Now, he didn't have the most carries this year, but he had the second most carries on the team in Josh Allen. He had the most rushing attempts of his career in a single season. And this team, really outside of Stephon Diggs, the only player that makes you really shake in your boots, and that's not like talking down on the roster, like Gabe Davis, a good player. I don't think you're shaking in your boots when you get ready for Gabe Davis. Same with Dawson Knox, good player. You're not shaking in your boots. But what makes that Bills offense so great is Josh Allen's running game. So my response to Brandon Bean would be, if you want your quarterback to take fewer hits, don't have so many design runs. And also, go get a running back that has legit success in this league. And Devin Motor Singletary thinks a good number two back. There's time, like it seems like he's the guy, plays four good games, two bad games, four good games, two bad games. That's just how it happens. And I know that they drafted James Cook in the second round this past year, but you know how crazy it is when you're drafting and trying to hit on a rookie? Like, I don't know if James Cook, he had some signs and some flashes at the end of the year. Well, I don't know if he's going to be able to be a bell cow back. You got to go get a legit other playmaker on the offensive side of the ball that's a running back. And I very rarely advocate adding a star running back. I just think you need a running back by committee. But you had an opportunity to go trade for Christian McCaffrey. You didn't do so. And that's even with Bean's Carolina connection. I don't know if Josh Jacobs is going to be made available because he could be franchise tag. But if Josh Jacobs is made available, Buffalo has to pounce, and Buffalo has to get Josh Jacobs. So I don't know who else they're going to get or who they're going to be in the market for, but if you don't want your quarterback to take as many hits, two things that happen. Stop having your play caller have so many design runs, and the other part is go get a running back you could actually rely on and not hope turns into be that big back, Hickey.
Absolutely, and that's half the issue is just the carries. We talk about it. For really the last year and a half, it's just how much workload is on him, both throwing the ball and especially running the ball when he's, you know, leaving himself, even with his big frame, susceptible to such big hits. We've seen Andrew Luck also built like a linebacker, eventually wear down over time because of a similar play style, just being physical and being a bruiser and being the one to deliver hits instead of sliding. And that's also, I think, part of it as well. Look, you want to run him? Okay, that's one thing. I'm with you 100%. Get an actual running back, an actual running game that's not surrounded or really helped out by your quarterback. But also, too, teach Josh Allen a slide. He also has to learn when you're, you know, it's better to go down 2 yards short for most of the season than it is to try to put your shoulder down and get the extra yard or two in a week six game. You got to take care
of
yourself.
Some of it's on Josh. That yes. is fair. And sometimes Josh doesn't give up on the play a second or two early. Rather, he does it a second or two later. But then also you got to wonder, how many times is it not a design run and we think it's a design run and he just takes off himself and improvises? That makes Josh Allen great, but you can't have that all throughout the season because then you get injuries.
And again, if you're going to do that, no problem. Like, you can't, you know, that's part of what makes him so great.
But get out of bounds
and get down. That's it. Get out of bounds and get down the regular season, especially.
If it's a playoff game, big game, no problem. Regular season game, you got to win. You do whatever it takes to win. But if it's like week five in the regular season,
get down.
Get down. Now, that's the other thing because you know how this works in the NFL. With the success of Brady, it did reset the standard because now he's the GOAT. And through all the winning and all the clutch plays and all the big numbers by Tom Brady and all the Super Bowls, the longevity of Brady is the most impressive thing. The guy is 45.
He's had three Hall of Fame careers, you could argue, in one. You know, and you even see it, right, with Peyton Manning, how long he's been retired. Aaron Rodgers, how long is he going to play? It does kind of feel like now, and it's unrealistic, when you have a franchise quarterback, oh, that guy's going to be there, you know, he'll play into his 40s. But this year, Russell Wilson kind of served as a reminder that you never know when someone's going to fall off a cliff. And you look at, as great as Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen are, you look at Joe Burrow, year one, big time injury. Year two, was the most sacked quarterback in the league. This past year, look at, he just got beat up on Sunday, where you had three offensive linemen that were out. I just wonder how long Burrow plays. You know, I wonder how long his body holds up. You look at Mahomes. He's a robot. You just saw what he did this past weekend. But we've dealt with injuries before with Patrick Mahomes. You look at Josh Allen with how many hits he takes. And that's like the new era of quarterback, right? Where the traditional, and I know Burrow's more of a traditional pocket passing quarterback, but he does have some mobility. But when you watch Mahomes and you watch Allen, it's like, oh, jaw-dropping. Well, they're like video games. You can't even do that with the video game controller, with the way that they move around and then fire the ball across their body 50 yards down the field, the no-look passes and everything. But it opens you up to more hits. And I know Lamar Jackson, right, is different, where there's even more running with Lamar Jackson, and he's been hurt the last 2 years. So are all these quarterbacks that we just talked about great? Yes. Do they do things on the football field that we've never seen before? Absolutely. But I just wonder how long their careers do last because of how much they open themselves up to, whether it's with a crappy offensive line or using their legs to extend the play. How many years get shaved off their career just because of injuries? And the human body is the human body. It can only take so many hits. It's like right now, they're all the young prime of their careers. But you wonder when they get into their 30s, what that starts to look like.
Andrew Luck is obviously the anomaly, but again, you look at kind of the hits he took and similar to Josh Allen, even Joe Burrow getting sacked as much as he has so far in his 3 or 2.5 year career, if you want to call it that. It's like I said, you have to be able to protect your guys. We assume, like you said, that you look at Tom Brady, you look at Aaron Rodgers, oh yeah, most quarterbacks now with the new rules, they'll be fine. Well, now more quarterbacks than not are mobile running quarterbacks. Like Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, part of the reason why they're playing into their early or late 30s, early 40s, and Tom Brady now going into his, you know, closer to 50 than 40, yeah, let's say, is partly because they don't run. Like, they are pocket passers. They stay where they're protected. Now, Josh Allen. Burrow doesn't run as much, but still, he's getting hit a lot. Lamar Jackson, like you mentioned, it's more mobile quarterbacks. You're more putting yourself in a disadvantageous situation of getting hit. And so it's just now self-preservation going forward. And that's said. I'm with Brandon Mee. That's the first thing you got to focus on. Not the only thing, definitely the first thing you can criticize Josh Allen on is taking better care of your body.
You can, but I could also, and I love Brandon Bean. He's been on this show a bunch. He's done a wonderful job along with Sean McDermott rebuilding that Buffalo Bills team and making them a contender, even though they haven't won the Super Bowl or got to a Super Bowl, but making them a contender year in and year out. But if you want to get on him for one thing, and we all love that roster and genuflected to that roster before the start of the year, outside of Stephon Diggs, you know, you get outside the quarterback position, outside of Stephon Diggs, like, you got to go get more playmakers on the offense side of the ball. You got to go get another threat. And I think Gabe Davis is good enough to be a really good number two wide receiver in this league, but Cole Beasley came walking off the streets and was getting used a lot in that divisional round game. And that offensive line, which did not play well in that divisional round game, but also the running game, you got to go help out your quarterback. Because if you just put it on the shoulders and legs of Josh Allen and say, go be Superman, it could take you far. But eventually a hole or two pops up in the cape. And if you don't have people that can go quickly sew up those holes and fix the problems at the cape, you fall flat on your face in the big spots that we've seen the last few years in other areas.
Bean said he can only criticize Josh Allen for basically not protecting himself better. I would also argue turning the ball over. Now that's on Josh Allen. Also, you could blame Brandon Bean for, like you said, making basically the offense one-dimensional. Josh Allen do everything. But yeah, 23 turnovers this year, including fumbles, most of any quarterback. You can't win turning the ball over that many times. You've got to be taking care of the ball better, especially in the red zone, big area that hurt the Bills this year.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So a lot of movement today in the coaching world. You have Sean Payton reportedly getting traded, or that deal will eventually get finalized, and he'll be going to the Denver Broncos. That's so bizarre to say. I know it's happened before, and we see trades before, Belichick and Gruden. But when you think of a coach, it's like, all right, they just agreed to a contract. Now, this is agreeing to a contract and also figuring out the compensation. So that's the big move for the Denver Broncos. And then you have D'Amico Ryans, Mufasa, going back home with the Houston Texans. When we come on back, what's the expectation in year number one for the Denver Broncos? What's the expectation in year number one for the Houston Texans with D'Amico Ryans? We'll talk coaches and expectations next when we return in five.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.